Amen. Well, my gratitude for the entire staff team taking on all the miscellaneous responsibilities of the day. I had surgery on Thursday. They tied me back up. Michael House was there keeping an eye on things. Apparently I saw him, but I don't remember seeing him. It's been good to be well cared for. My wife is a saint. The agreement was, yes, I could preach today as long as I asked for lots of help and I wrote my sermon before I was on the pain meds. That was the big agreement. So things are ready to roll. It's funny. I've been frequenting a lot of waiting rooms recently, a lot of them. And they all have different magazines, Michael, some good outdoor activity magazines in your physical therapy office. But one of the offices I've frequented for a long time is my counselor. I see a counselor at least twice a month. I'm a firm believer in getting counseling. I think we all have stuff we need to work through, and it's something I do very regularly. And when I go and I see my counselor, he has some old copies of Sports Illustrated, and he has Highlights magazine. Now, those of you that know me know that I'm drawn towards the Highlights magazine much more than the Sports Illustrated. I've always enjoyed Highlights magazine back in the day when they sent those little happy face stickers in the mail to try to get you to buy the magazine. And then you'd not buy it. You'd just see it every time you went to every doctor in the world. And then all those little cards would fall out inviting you to get the magazine. And then you'd do things like the seek and find puzzle. Always what I go to in a Highlights. Now, let me just say, the people that circle the seek and finds in the doctor's office copy, that is cruel and unusual. Other people have to sit there and want to find it too. Don't circle them. Let us find them too. And so I get there, and for several months, I kept working on the same seek and find. This one. Thank you, Highlights. They made it available online for learning purposes. I figured this is a learning purpose. It was my favorite section, and for 2 months, every single week, I was looking for things, and I found the key, and the pizza, and the pencil, and the golf club, and the ruler, all of those things. I found everything except the boot. I could not find the boot. 2 months, every Friday, for 10 minutes waiting before, over and over and over. I even took a picture of it on my phone so I could keep looking when I wasn't in the waiting room. That's how badly I wanted to find the boot. Okay, we're going to get there later. Okay, they always say, don't do anything that'll distract people from your sermon. I'm giving you a seek and find and telling you what to look for. It was just this deeply painful, frustrating experience of being told something was there and not being able to find it. As a pastor, this was very resonating for me because I experienced this in Christian community. In fact, Christian community has experienced this as long as there's been Christian community. The earliest Christian communities knew something very similar. They were looking for something. They'd been told this is going to be present, and they couldn't find it. Christ was no longer with them. He died. He'd come back to life. He'd ridden a cloud back to wherever he rides that cloud back to. And he said, listen, I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit with you. The Holy Spirit's going to be there, and that's going to be with you all the time, even more than I ever could have been. What a great deal. This is exciting. Where is it, Jesus? No, seriously, where is it? Anybody? Anybody? I mean, he said, I'll be back too. Okay, great. When? No, seriously, when? So we've got this spirit that's with us and we don't know what it looks like, and you're coming back and we don't know when. Yay. Being an early Christian was hard. It was hard. You know what? Being a Christian today can be just as hard because Jesus is still coming back. When? But don't worry, the Holy Spirit is with us. Where? We're looking. We're wondering. I mean, Christ had made an appearance in the lives of the disciples in that early Christian community. But where was God in their lives? How was Christ a part of their daily experience? Why weren't they feeling the Spirit? Right? It sounds like something you should feel. It should be exciting. Why weren't they feeling it? As I think you can see, these are very fair questions for us to ask as well. Where's God in our daily lives sometimes? We can get here, we can gather, we can sing the songs, and we can talk about it, but then I leave and I'm wondering, why don't I feel that spirit everyone else seems so happy to talk about? I'm looking. I promise. I'm looking everywhere. Why can't I find it? You know, I encounter people every single day who are longing for something more. I encounter people every single day who are looking for something deeper in life. People who are seeking assurance that these things we think are out there that we want to believe, we just want to be assured that they are real. I encounter it in the faces I see here. I encounter it in faces that never walk in this door that I see on the street. We're all looking for something. We may put different words to it. We may give it different names, but we're looking, and sometimes we just can't find it. And we want to. Now, this isn't just others, right? I'm not just saying, oh, I see other folks who experience this. I'm talking about me too. I know what it's like to look and look and look and just not be able to find that boot. I mean, God's presence. Not to be able to find God's presence. But this is where my story today fits so well. The hidden picture ties in here for me because I was looking earnestly, desperately, putting everything I could into finding that boot, but all I had was a word. All they did was write the word boot below the photo, and I thought I'd found it several times, and I hadn't. The word boot was all I had to go on. But then, one day, I sit down in the counselor's office. I open up that lovely Highlights magazine, and that shower of little subscribe cards falls out, and behind one of those cards was a visual key for the seek and find. It had a picture of everything you were supposed to be looking for in the picture. Under the flap, the whole time, was a guide, a picture of exactly what I was supposed to be looking for. It had a picture of this. Oh yeah, it's the lion's arm. Take a look, it's the lion's arm. I'd stared at that arm forever. That didn't look like a boot. But once you tell me that's what a boot looks for, golly, I can find it. Oh. I finally knew what I was looking for. Folks, this is the Christian experience as we see it written in the book of Galatians. Paul, this early Christian leader, is writing to a community of people who keep saying, hey, Paul, seriously? Holy Spirit? Jesus coming back? What's going on? And so he writes them a letter. And in that letter, he puts a key. Instead of just saying Holy Spirit, he says, let me tell you what to look for. And in Galatians chapter 5, we find these words. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, I love this fruit imagery. I've always loved the fruit imagery. It's something we use a lot in Christian. The fruit, meaning that it's something that we bear. It's something that starts and eventually comes to fruition, that we see, knowing that something is there and alive and real. What Paul is doing in the book of Galatians is offering that key. Here's what you're looking for. So when we are staring endlessly at our lives, when we're staring endlessly at a world that sometimes we don't know which end is up and which end is down, looking for something sacred to get us through the hard times, when we're not sure what God's presence looks like, but we certainly don't want to be alone anymore, this is the key that opens those possibilities up for us. So we can go, oh, it's totally there. There it is. When we see love, we are seeing and finding and encountering God's presence. When we see joy or no peace or receive the blessing of someone else's patience, we are seeing, finding, and encountering Christ's life lived out every day by the people around us. When we can offer kindness and goodness and faithfulness, we are living in the Spirit and we can see the Spirit at work. When we encounter gentleness, when we have those proud moments of self-control, these are the things we're looking for. Here's our key. So that when we have those days, we can proudly look and point and go, I found it. There it is. God is with me. Christ's love is real. The Spirit is present. These These are things that carry forward and that are real for us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is a good list. If you're looking for something to jot down somewhere, this is the kind of thing you jot down somewhere. But just make sure it's not hidden behind some annoying advertisement so that when you need it, you can know what you're looking for. Hang on to this. There's another seeking story that comes to mind for me as I think about what it is to look for and long for God's presence in our lives. I used to work for Apple. And before I worked for Apple, I basically worked for Apple without getting paid by Apple. I was one of those people who was always working for Apple. I loved Apple. Now listen, and some of the kids don't understand this. Apple wasn't always cool. It took a lot of guts to be a fan of Apple in the early 90s. Let me just say that, okay? Apple's always been a company I believed in and I loved, and I would look for it everywhere, which was really easy to do because Apple has more unpaid product placement than any other company in the world. Actually, it was a very big deal. Back in the first season of 24 on Fox, everyone used an Apple except for the villain. Only at the end of the season, everyone went, wait a second, the one person that didn't use an Apple computer was a villain the entire time. Should have seen that coming. They had all these Apple logos everywhere. You could see them in everything. And I always saw them. And so did my wife, because I pointed them out every single time I saw them. Any movie, any commercial, any music video, anything we were doing, I was like, hey, Megan, look, there's an Apple logo. Hey, Megan, look, there's an Apple logo. Hey, Megan, look, they're using an Apple. Hey, Megan, look, they're using an iPod. Every single thing we watched, constantly. I didn't even have to say it anymore after a while. A few years in, I would just look at her, and she'd look at me and go, I saw it. Now, as I told Megan I was going to use this metaphor of looking for things, she said to me, you know what's really funny? After a while, you don't have to look anymore. You just see it because you've been looking for so long. At which point I thanked her for writing my sermon for me. If you've been looking hard enough for long enough, you just start to see it. And that is true for the fruit of the Spirit as well. Even more so than an apple, even more so than a boot. At a certain point, if we've been looking for love and peace and joy and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control, if we look for things long enough, we'll just start to see them in other people. We'll start to see them in ourselves. At a certain point, we can start to point them out to others. Hey, did you see the love that was just shown there? I'm really grateful for the patience someone offered me. We start to do that for others. They start to see it without even having to look. Before you know it, it's just so prevalent. You can't miss it. You can't miss it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Can you see them? Amen.